Take Me Out to the Ball Game, sung by Edward Meeker, Edison Records.
Whopper by Frank Amoroso. Part 1. Goopher Dust. The Babe adopted a blank stare in response to the news that he would be riding the Pines again. Not that manager Barrow's decision was unexpected. After all, Barrow had played the hot bat all season long, and he preferred to play the right-handed lineup against a southpaw. Babe had anticipated another day on the bench and knew what he had to do. "Time to take the field for pre-game practice, men!" yelled Heine, glancing at his wristwatch out of habit. The veteran coach exhaled in relief as the team jogged out of the clubhouse out to the field. To his surprise, Babe accepted the decision without a peep of protest. A small voice in the back of his mind cautioned Heine to stay alert. Past experience informed him that the Babe was a rabid prankster. Most of them were harmless, but Heine did not want to be the butt of one of Ruth's many jokes. He recalled the time that the Babe put a piece of paper between the slices of meat in sandwiches in the clubhouse spread. It took half the season before the players would eat without deconstructing the sandwiches out of fear for becoming one of Babe's victims. Or the time he dropped a lit cigar down the uniform trousers of Pinch Thomas. The poor guy was in the bullpen when he realized that his pants were on fire. The best one was the flatulence contest he sponsored. Well, of course, Babe won after consuming beer and Limburger for several days before the fart-off. But Heine thought, that contest really brought the team together. Well, on this day, it didn't take long for the Babe to go into action. During the second round of batting practice, Ruth berated his bats in a loud, booming voice. He cursed and bemoaned the bats' infidelity for abandoning him during the series. Fans, who were filing into their seats, pointed and laughed at the show that the Babe was staging. Near the on-deck circle, he arranged six bats in a stack resembling a bundle of rifles. After circling the stack and ranting gibberish, he sank to his knees and shouted, "I cannot complete this exorcism alone!" All eyes were on Ruth. The crowd tittered and giggled at the spectacle. Cubs fans enjoyed seeing their expected nemesis brought so low. "Hold on, Babe. Help is on the way," said a black man as he mounted the roof of the Boston dugout. It was Bill Bojangles Robinson, the famous vaudeville performer and friend of the Babe Ruth. He wore a tuxedo, top hat, and sported a black fungo bat in place of a cane. A glittering smile creased his black face as he twirled into position. The crowd gasped at the figure who stood at perfect attention. One foot moved heel to toe, tapping a rhythm. The crowd clapped in time. Then, the second foot joined in with a quick staccato. Each tap was punctuated by an echo from inside the cavernous dugout. Hoots of encouragement erupted from the crowd. Soon, Bojangles was tapping, dancing, twirling, jumping, and landing gracefully on the roof. The virtuoso dancing seemed to release a wellspring of joy from a people weary of wartime tension. When the crowd clapped in unison with the dancer, he defied gravity. With an astounding leap, he landed on a wooden disc that covered the on-deck circle and tapped his way around the edges, double-timing his steps and windmilling his bat cane. The crowd roared its approval. "Mr. Babe, I am here to help. What's the problem?" "Well, demons have invaded my bats and eaten all the hits," shouted Babe in a mournful voice. Bojangles picked up a nearby broom and swirled and tapped around the bats with an exaggerated sweeping motion. Then he pantomimed to Babe to check the bats. Babe lifted one of the bats to his ear. After a theatric pause, he shook his head from side to side. Bojangles drew his hands to his mouth in astonishment. Them some nasty demons. I'm gonna need some help. Only my super patented goofer dust will do the job, said the dancer in a loud stage voice, withdrawing a large container of white stuff. One side of the container said goofer, the other side said dust. Displaying the label and mouthing the words goofer dust, he gestured toward the crowd and shouted, "Are you with me?" He started dancing to a smattering of boos from hardcore Cub fanatics, no doubt who wanted Babe to fail. The negative sounds were drowned out by the fans who were entranced by the magnificent performer. Gradually, his rhythmic pulse energized the crowd, and they clapped encouragement. With increasing frenzy, he danced and jumped like a whirling dervish. As he quick-stepped around the stack, he sprayed, sprinkled, and showered the bats with goofer dust. When the container was empty, Bojangles pirouetted to a halt. The crowd hooted and hollered its delight. Babe selected one of the bats, held it to his ear. He smiled and bowed appreciatively to Bojangles. With the elan of a true showman, Babe walked into the batter's box and beckoned to Heine, the batting practice pitcher. Heine grooved a fastball towards home plate. Babe shifted back, loading his power, and then unleashed a monster swing. The sound of a thunderous crack filled the air. The white horsehide sphere launched skyward until it was almost beyond sight. After a majestic flight, the ball clattered off a wooden seat in the farthest reaches of the right field stands. Babe and Heine admired the blast. Babe kissed his bat and joined Bojangles in a stroll to the dugout. The crowd was delirious at the show they had just witnessed. Two performers took a curtain call, smiling broadly. As Heine passed the on-deck circle on his way to the dugout, the goofer dust sparkled. The coach bent down and touched a clump. His suspicion aroused, the coach touched a few crystals to his tongue. He chuckled and shook his head. Barrow was standing in the dugout with one foot on the top step. When he went past the manager, Heine whispered the words, "Table salt." This has been a reading of Goofer Dust by Frank Amoroso, a part of Whopper, as read by Nick Bosta.